two of our main three events this time of year, the group home party and our Christmas theater, have both already happened, and weren't they fantastic? And then our last event of the season will be next Sunday, the Festival of Carols, and I know that we're all looking forward to that. I want to ask you to turn with me to the book of James, chapter 5 today. We're going to look at James chapter 5 and verse 7. Would you stand with me as we hear the word together? James writes to the early church, and he says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." Oh Lord, I pray that your Spirit would use my words to do your work upon your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 'Tis the season. 'Tis the season. The signs and the symbols surround us. 'Tis the season for stuffed stockings and stuffed stomachs. 'Tis the season to decorate your home to look like a parade float. 'Tis the season of eggnog and evergreen and elves that mysteriously move about your home at night. 'Tis the season of merriment and mistletoe. 'Tis the season of bells jingling and cash registers ringing. 'Tis the season of wreaths and reindeer and regifting and reminiscing. And 'tis the season of empty seats at family tables, of reminders of what used to be. 'Tis the season of tears spilling and hearts aching. 'Tis the season of grief that returns to visit like an unwelcome Christmas guest. 'Tis the season of suffering. Mental health professionals tell us that during the month of December, they see a 15% increase in the number of people who come to them for help with depression. And that's just the number who come seeking help. There's no telling how many more of us suffer without even seeking help. You know, one of the things that you should know about the Bible is that by far the majority of our scriptures arose from the context of suffering. The majority of your Bible was written in and came from the context of a suffering people. The book of James is no exception to that. The James who wrote this letter was probably the James who was the brother of Jesus. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. This time of great growing persecution, Christians were being mocked and mistreated and arrested for their faith. And then one of the pivotal events in the life of the early church was the execution of Stephen. Stephen became the first to give up his life for the cause of Jesus. And when Stephen was executed, everything began to spiral down from there. The church in Jerusalem divided, scattered, went into panic, and went into hiding. And it was into that persecuted, divided, scattered, suffering church that James wrote this letter. And James's message to them is, be patient. Be patient. You know, one thing we know about this God for sure, there are a lot of things that make us scratch our heads and a lot of things that make us wonder, but there's one thing that we know for sure about this God that we can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, this God takes his time. He always has. He's a God who takes his time. You look back at the life of the people of God. You think back to Abraham. Abraham, he waited and he waited and he waited well into his senior years for a son. And he waited for the fulfillment of God's promise of land. Generations after generations after him, they waited for that land. And then the people of Israel, enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years, they waited for God to hear them. They waited for God to act. They waited for God to bring them out and to make them free. And once God did that, it was 40 more years of waiting to finally enter that land that God had promised so long ago. And then generations of the people of God lived in exile. They were cut off from the land. They were cut off from the temple. They were cut off from one another. And they were living under the thumb of their oppressors. And they waited and they waited and they waited for God to deliver them, to set things right. And then you have that period, that stretch of time between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. It's a 400-year span of silence. No record of God's activity, no record of God speaking, of anything happening. 400 years of waiting. And then you look at the life of the church of Jesus. The church has been in waiting mode for over 2,000 years. Ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, the church has been waiting for him to fulfill his promise to return to us. Folks, there are a lot of things about this God of ours that we can scratch our heads, we can wonder, we can debate, we can discuss. But one thing we know beyond the shadow of a doubt is this God takes his time. And for us to be people of this God means for us to be people who wait. Problem is, we don't wait so well. Henry Nouwen says that instead of waiting patiently for what is right, we start wandering around, and he says we go from sensation to sensation. Instead of waiting for the right things, we take hold of the wrong things. We take shortcuts. We grab for what is immediate, what is accessible. We eat too much. We sleep too much. We work too long. We play too much. We desperately try to satisfy ourselves. We hop from relationship to relationship. We hop from house to house. We hop from job to job. We hop from bed to bed. We hop from church to church. We hop from store to store. We hop from purchase to purchase. We hop from adventure to adventure. And each time we're convinced, this time it's going to do it for me. Instead of waiting for what is right, we reach out for whatever is going to make us feel good in the moment. And James is speaking into a suffering church, to a suffering people, when he says, church, be patient. Be patient. Patience, the word patience in the Latin means to suffer through. I like that definition of patience because that definition of patience tells us that patience is not suffering in something. It's not suffering in your circumstances. It is suffering through your circumstances by the grace of God, with the help of God. Patience is not suffering in, it's suffering through. And when we face suffering in our lives, and we do, when we face that suffering, we have a decision to make. We can allow our suffering to pull us away. We can allow our suffering to pull us away from God. We can allow our suffering to pull us away from the church. We can allow our suffering to pull us away from our friends and family and those who are closest to us. Or we can allow our suffering to drive us deeper into the heart of God. We can allow our suffering to bring us closer to our loved ones. We can allow our suffering to bring us deeper into the life of the church. Folks, I know too many people who have suffered for a season of their life and then given up on God. They said, well, God let me suffer. They weren't patient. They didn't wait. They said, well, God didn't fix it. He let me suffer, so I'm just going to be done with this God. You know what I want to say to those people? I want to ask them, what kind of God were you following? What kind of God were you following exactly? Were you following the God, the kind of God who winks at you and says, I'm going to swoop in and fix all your problems and you're never going to have to suffer? Because folks, if that was the kind of God you're following and he let you suffer, I would leave that God too. Was that the kind of God you were following? Or were you following the God who suffered himself, entered into human suffering, and he said to us, you will suffer too? We have a decision to make. We can allow our suffering to drive us away, or we can, in the midst of our suffering, by the grace of God, we can come closer to the heart of God. A couple of ladies who both went home to be with the Lord this year are a couple of my heroes. One of them was Miss Laura Hamm. 35 years ago, she lost her husband and her son in a tragic train explosion. And on that day, and in the days after, trips to Nashville, to Alabama, visiting her husband and son in the hospitals, and eventually both of them dying, burying both of them. And then for 35 years since then, she suffered. Here's why she's one of my heroes. She didn't allow her suffering to pull her away from the heart of God, but instead she did the very opposite. In the midst of her suffering, she drew closer to her God. She came closer to him. In other words, she did not suffer in, but she, by the grace of God, suffered through her circumstances in life. Another lady is Norma Hampton, who less than 2 years ago, she was diagnosed with stomach cancer, and it was throughout, and she underwent an elaborate 500-step surgery that just reworked her entire inside of her abdomen, and she was never the same after that, and she lived for 18 months before the cancer just returned with a vengeance and took her life, and a lot of her last days were spent on a feeding tube and in a hospital bed in her home. She suffered. But one of the reasons why she was one of my heroes this past year was because she did not allow her suffering to pull her away from her Lord. She did not allow her suffering to pull her away, but instead, in the midst of her suffering, she drew closer to the heart of her God. In other words, she did not suffer in. She, by the grace of God, she suffered through. Both of these ladies, both of these heroes of mine, they didn't suffer and run. They didn't suffer and just give up on their relationship with God. But both of them continued. Both of them grew in their prayer lives. Both of them deepened in their dependency upon God. Both of them grew deeper in their faith. Both of them embraced their God. Both of them were patient. Both of them suffered through. In suffering, so many of us pull away from God. We pull away not only from God, but we tend to pull away from one another when we're faced with suffering in our lives. And that's why James says in verse 9, he says, don't grumble against each other. James knows us. He knows how we operate. He knows what we do. When we're suffering, we have this tendency. We crack under pressure when it comes to our relationships with one another. And what we do when we're suffering is what we do is we tend to take that pain and aim it toward other people. And so James is speaking into the church, the suffering church, and he's saying, whatever you do, church, as you're going through this suffering, don't grumble against each other. Don't turn your pain against each other. Don't do that, but instead suffer together. Be the church together. Work through this and walk through these days together. Don't let the suffering divide us. See, folks, James is helping the church, the suffering church, learn to wait. And James is saying to them, God's going to show up. God's going to do something. He always has. He always will. He's going to do it. But for now, what we've got to do, church, is we've got to wait. And this waiting that we do, it's not a passive waiting. A lot of the time when we think of waiting, we think of passive waiting. Passive waiting is waiting like waiting in line for that next iPhone or waiting for the midnight showing of that vampire movie or waiting on the bench outside of the store while your wife's doing all the Christmas shopping. That's passive waiting. That's not the waiting that we're called to do, but instead the waiting that we're called to do is an active waiting. It's more like waiting for company to come to your house. When company comes to your house, you're waiting for your company to come, but it's an active waiting. You're getting the fresh linens. You're cleaning the house one more time. You're getting that guest room ready. You're fixing the meals that they like to eat. It's active waiting. Or it's like waiting for a baby to come into your family, and that's active waiting. You're painting that nursery, you're picking out the stuff, you're reading the book about what you expect, you're taking the birthing classes, you're doing all those things. It's not passive waiting, it's active waiting. You're waiting with this sense of expectation, with this sense of confidence, this sense of hope that entails preparation for the one who is coming. That's the kind of waiting we do. The season of Advent reminds us of who we are. We are people who wait. That's us. Our lives are one long stretch of Advent. Our entire lives are Advent. We are people who throughout our lives are waiting. We're in this continual state of waiting. And it's important to know that while God didn't cause your suffering, the suffering that you're enduring in your life, God has work to do on you in the midst of your suffering while you wait. Because in the waiting, God is forming you. In the waiting, God is shaping you. In the waiting, God is making you holy. In the waiting, God is building character into your life. In the waiting, God is doing things in you that cannot be done quickly or easily. And folks, I think that's why he takes his time so much. This waiting that we do is not just some pie in the sky, wish for a better day kind of a waiting. No. We wait for the one who fulfilled his promises to Abraham and brought him descendants and brought him land. We wait for the one who heard the cries of the slaves in Egypt and entered into human history and delivered them from bondage. We wait for the one who led them into the promised land. We wait for the one who restored the Jewish people from their state of exile. We wait for the one who, after that 400-year span of silence, the one who spoke, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." We wait for the one who once again entered into human history as a babe in Bethlehem to reconcile the world to himself. We wait for the one who ascended into heaven, and when he ascended into heaven, two figures in white came and told his followers, "He will come back." We wait for the one who, at the very end of the Bible, his last words in your Bible are, "Behold, I am coming soon." That's the one we wait for. We wait for him. And folks, when he comes, he will bring his kingdom fully and finally. The clouds will be rolled back as a scroll. Heaven and earth will be one. Everything will be set right. Suffering will be no more. We wait for him. That's who we wait for. That's what we wait for. And folks, it's because we're waiting for him. It's because we're waiting for his kingdom to come fully and finally. It's because of that we can suffer through in these days. So James is saying, church, I know you're suffering, but we're waiting for him, and we know what's coming. So while you're suffering in these days, while you're enduring, while you're going through this, church, suffer through. Don't just suffer in, but suffer through. I know that there are a lot of us who our grief tends to resurface in this month. The stuff that we have gone through in the past, the stuff that we're going through in these days, we're reminded when we have that empty seat at the table, or all of the holiday cheer and all of the excitement and all of the people around us. And beneath the surface, there are many, many of us who suffer. And there are many, many of us who feel like we can't be real about our suffering, like we can't talk about it, like we can't own up to it or address it in any way. And so what so many of us do is we pretend our way through the holidays. You put on the smile, you put on the festive outfits, you go to the parties, you do the gift things, and you pretend your way through the holidays. And folks, if there's any time of year when it's okay for you to be real about your suffering, I think this is it. It's this season. It's this season of Advent. This season that's all about waiting. It's all about suffering through. It's all about being patient. It's all about enduring in this time and waiting for what is coming. It's during this season that we can be most real about what it is that we're going through, because the truth is, as we're suffering in this life, we're looking ahead to the one who's coming and bringing his kingdom and will make everything right. Amen. We are Advent people. Our eyes are fixed on the horizon. We deal in these days with the stuff of life. We suffer. But folks, hear the words of James. Don't just suffer in. By the grace of God, suffer through. And in the midst of your suffering, don't let it pull you away from the heart of God, but instead, in the midst of your suffering, let this be your opportunity to come deeper into the heart of God. How well have you been waiting? I wonder if there might be some of us who, maybe obviously you're at church today, but maybe underneath the surface you've already just thrown in the towel and given up on God. Maybe it's because you suffered, but for whatever reason, something's happened and you just haven't waited on him. Maybe there are some of us who've done what Henry Nouwen said, and we've reached for sensations because God hasn't shown up in the time frame in the way that we've wanted God to show up. And so we reach for other things, things that are accessible, things that are immediate. We reach for these sensations to try to fill the void because God isn't showing up in the time frame in which we want him to show up. It's important for us to recognize that while God does not cause our suffering, God has work to do on us in our suffering. Just a moment, we're going to have the opportunity to once again come to the table of the Lord. In just a moment, you'll be holding the bread and the cup, and we'll receive the body and the bread of the body and the blood of Christ together. These are emblems of the God who suffered. The God who did something about suffering by entering into it himself. And so when we come to his table today, we come to the God who chose to come to us and to suffer with us.